You're listening to the Doncast, an unofficial fan podcast about the greatest Australian football team, the Essendon Bombers. My name is Jamie.
And I'm Nick.
And mate, our first loss of the AFL season happened on Saturday night as the Saints celebrated their 150th year anniversary. And we basically didn't put up much fight at the start of the game, did we?
Certainly didn't, mate. I think it's like the situation spooked us because, you know, that they sort of got a jump on us and it took us a long time to recover. And in that time, they put on a margin and we're always playing catch-up footy from there.
Yeah, it was like admirable a couple of times where we got ourselves back to the level pegging. But like in most cases, it looked like we used all our petrol tickets, mate, and every time we, as they caught up with them, they'd kick away again. So, yeah, a bit of work to do. Obviously, you know, Brad Scott's made it pretty clear that, you know, this isn't a finished product and, you know, it's probably a throwaway line when you think about it. Of course, nothing ever is, but, I mean, it was disappointing in a way because St Kilda have had so many injuries dealt to them.
Yeah.
They've done a really good job, you know, playing their same system and, you know, keeping teams to pretty miserly scores. And, yeah, I just felt that, you know, that was a good opportunity for us to go 3-0 and we kind of dropped the ball a bit.
We did. I will say, though, that, you know, objectively, like the Saints stuck to their structures all night. I think, look, as much as I don't like saying it, you know, Ross has got them, you know, playing to structures and sticking to those structures. And like that, like stayed throughout the course of the night. Like there was times where we challenged, yeah, but in the end, those structures kept fat. They did the simple things really well and for longer than us, I'd have to say. Conversely, though, I don't think it's a you know, Chicken Little moment where, you know, the sky is falling and everything's terrible. I did take a lot of heart from how we did, I suppose, stick at it. Like we kept challenging and, you know, up until that final quarter, mate, like we came back and were, you know, dead rubber even for them. But, yeah, they just got away from us. And I think, you know, really the, like, it's good we're able to get ourselves in better position there. Our structure was better. But at the end of the day, if you are not disciplined, you give away stupid free kicks and 50s at that. I mean, some of those you can't help, but a lot of them you could. You know, again, goes to that same argument we had last week, Jane. You know, how many times have you said to an umpire, you know, fair dinkum, and they've said, actually, and changed their mind? It doesn't happen. But also disposal efficiency. You know, and, you know, we'll talk about a couple of players that really stood out for us a bit later. But if you're continually kicking the football straight to the opposition, and a number of players were guilty of it, Jane, you are coughing up easy possession. You're setting yourself on the back foot because all of a sudden they're transitioning and you're out of position. And I think, you know, we were talking about it during the game, James, about, you know, the cost of turnovers to us. You know, I think at the end of the game, it was something like 72 points they got directly from turnovers. Is that right, James?
Yeah, that's right. Turnovers, they had 72 points of the score generated from our turnovers.
Yep.
Now, obviously, that's going to happen every game. There's going to be some kind of points against attributed to turnovers. But 72 points is a lot. And, you know, it's too much, really, in a game you want to win. And as you mentioned, mate, just our kicking, sometimes it was like we wanted to hit up the St Kilda players because they didn't even have an opponent sometimes when we kicked the ball directly to them.
Yep.
So that's something I'd really like to address is that, look, you can't just kick blindly and hope that there's an incident player there. And if you're not sure, I'd rather you get caught holding the ball than just blazing away and kicking it straight back to them, and taking a better option. And it makes us look a bit frantic. It makes us look like there's not a lot of order there. I know we started the season well with 2 wins, but this game, I just showed that our effort's still there, because in previous years, I'm pretty sure a game like that would have resulted in a 5 or 6 goal, 7 or 7 goal plus loss. I think we would have dropped our heads. As you said, we kept that to contest, and even when they got back out to 5 goals, we pegged back another 2 before the siren ended the game. So to bring it back to a 3 goal game, to me, being at the game, it didn't feel like a 3 goal loss. It felt like an 8 goal loss. You know what I mean? It's kind of a strange game. As you said earlier, mate, to me, that we never led at any stage during that game. So, which is a bit rare. Usually, there's at least one time where the other team will be in front of the other. But the whole game we're tied or chasing tail, and that's how the result ended as well.
Yeah, absolutely. He was pretty rough. It's hopefully we'll take a lot out of that game. But there's a lot that that needs to be discussed in terms of team selection, and also who we sub in, sub out kind of thing. Because look, you don't want to pot one player individually, but I guess at the end of the day, like the team is it should be greater than the sum of the individuals. But for that to still ring true, you need to make sure that you're making the right choices on and off the park. And I think in terms of our selection, I mean, obviously that was influenced by injuries and lack of availability for some players. But in terms of selections, I think we could have been a bit more considered. I mean, really, we only had the one, I suppose, key forward target, if you'd even call Harry Jones that, Jane. Like with Wiedemann, going in between forward and ruck. But we just didn't have I suppose, a bigger presence there. And
Well, let's discuss the elephant in the room, mate. Dyson Heppel. Throughout the week, it had me a bit perplexed when Brad Scott said in his weekly press conference, Dyson Heppel's a lock in our top 18 every week. Now, that's strange messaging from the coach, particularly, on the back of last week's game where he was subbed out, and we drew some criticism in that. Some people saying, "Oh, the coaches should have made him aware that he was subbed out and not left it to an official on the, handing out a towel or something to say you're subbed out." But regardless, I thought that messaging from Brad was a bit dangerous. Basically, it was blind faith in that, saying that you're a lock every week, top 18, right? So if you're a lock, that means you don't have to do anything. You're always going to be picked. And that to me, you've locked yourself into a position now, because how can you drop someone that you said you've locked? You've either got to criticize them, sorry, for their poor play and make a focus like you were a lock, now you're not because you're playing badly. Which is gonna, next time Heppel doesn't play, you can guarantee the media will be all over that. They're gonna come hard and go, "What happened to this lock player that you had? Suddenly he's not playing." And during that game, mate, he certainly didn't escape criticism, Dyson. Some of his kicking was, just horrendous. And like, he wasn't alone. you know, I don't want to single him out and say that he was the only one kicking the ball badly, because there was a number of players who did that. But you know, even the decision to sub out Harry Jones. Now, to me, you took away your target, as you said. Draper and Wiedemann were sharing the ruck role. You had Jake Stringer on the return, coming back from, you know, injury in his first game at seniors. I just didn't think we built a strong list in terms of, you know, up forward. And you know, when we had Cole Langford kick 5 goals last week, he goes back, then, you know, to me, you've lost flexibility too, because you've taken out Harry Jones. Wiedemann had to go into the ruck at times, so you're relying on Jake Stringer, who's not a key position player, to lead our forward line, and the game's on the line. I think Brad, and yeah, I've loved what he's done so far, but I thought that past week, that interview that he gave, where he made the point that, you know, Dyson Heppel was a lock for our top 18, and then not making the call to sub him out on the back of his play during the evening, showed me that sentiment is still too strong at Essendon at times, and that's not a ruthless leader. And I think that's what we need. We need people to really rock the boat and say, "No, we can't cop that. You know, we've got to stand for something more." And what message does it send to our younger players to say, "Yeah, look, he's had a bad game. I don't want to upset him. You know, you'll have to come out, Harry. Sorry." Yeah, to me, it was a, I'm going to say, strong language, but, you know, and it's not the, you know, have a go, right? But I thought that was a weak call, personally.
No, I think that's fair enough. I mean, like, because we heard it during the week, as you say, like, you know, Brad Scott saying he's best 18, basically. Dyson Heppel said, "Yep, no, I'm confident I'm best 22." And that, I mean, to me, shows potentially a bit of lack of self-awareness as to where he's at currently. I mean, you could say, yeah, he's confident in himself, and that's, you know, you do want that at times. But I think, you know, on the weekend we saw that, yeah, realistically, his play hurt us, James. How we use the ball, his decision making, either one slowed us down to the point where St Kilda were able to get their structures back and we weren't able to affect a score, or two, he kicked it straight to opposition players and wasn't overly effective. In terms of positioning, the way I kind of see it, James, is like, yep, Langford kicked five for us. He was kind of the game winner from last week. But this week we sent him back, and we persisted with that. To me, how I sort of saw it was, well, Langford's continuing to pay back despite us not having much, efficacy going forward. Because I don't think they could trust Heppel being put back into the halfback role to allow Langford to go forward. That to me is a real problem. And as you say, James, like when we had, Jonesy, I didn't think he was having a fantastic game, but I didn't think he was playing that badly. He actually showed some good vision at times. Took a number of marks as that, sort of lead up forward. I thought he was playing okay. And for him to be subbed out, for Hind, like a halfback, it boggles my mind, that move. I don't think it was well structured or thought out, but I guess it is what it is. We live and learn from the experience. But I just hope, there's some discussions going on behind, what's being presented out of public, because I don't think you could conscionably say that Dyson Heppel is his best 18, let alone best 22 for the remainder of the season, with the kind of output we're getting currently.
Yeah, and he's, as you say, his kicking is really hurting us. It hurt us against the Gold Coast. certainly hurt us against the game. And when you're a one pace player, and Dyson's always been that way, and he's he is a good player, he has been a good player, but he's one paced. He's never he can't use his pace to break through, so he can only use his efficiency and also like his footy brain to his asset. And unfortunately, they're not working. He's not being effective for us. And to me, if there's blind faith that we're going to play Dyson no matter what, it just sends a wrong message to the team, the playing group, and it kind of devalues position in the best 22. I really hope that is looked at, and team selection will be very interesting this week, because to me, Brad Scott, he was known to be hard-nosed with his selections. He's usually very, he's very focused on the team playing the right way, or the way he coaches them. Now, there's obviously players that have gone against what he's taught. I'm interested to see what ramifications there's going to be to best 18, or best 22, sorry. And I'd expect there'll be some changes, but I think if Dyson Heppel's just named again without a little bit closer attention match committee, it is sending the wrong message. So I won't harbour the point. I've probably made it two or three times, but that's just how I feel about it.
Yep. No, I think it's fair enough. So I guess we'll see how it plays out in future, mate. But I don't think we're alone in our assessment there.
Yeah. Now, my other things that have come to light just before we go into the match review, before the game, obviously there was a long interview. It was a really good interview in the Age, with Craig Bozo and CEO. It was quite a wide ranging article, and I found it really positive because Craig Bozo basically said, he's not a big, he's not a, he doesn't have a bigger regard for people who think there's premiership windows, or opportunities when you go for the flag and when you just sit back and bide your time. And he said that, if the right opportunity came, he'd have no hesitation pursuing free agents. They were going to make our list better, regardless of people not thinking we're in the premiership window. So I thought that was a good comment because, the last thing you want to do after, 23 years in the wilderness is embark on this. We're not doing anything until all our development comes from within, because it just sometimes never happens. We've seen it now over, 23 years. If we just rely on, building within, you've got to be proactive too, and use every resource that you can to make yourself better. So I'm glad we haven't closed the door on one of the resources that we've got, which is free agency. And the other part of the article, he spoke about, this bad blood is reported between Marnie and also the Doro, and how he having his background usually is as in general manager of footy at West Coast, and he is a much more footy analytical beast. So he's made the process that Jason, sorry, Marnie, sorry, will report through to him directly, as will the list manager in Dodoro, and as will Brad Scott, the coach, will channel through Craig Bozo. He was pressed on this, on this bad blood as reported, and he said, look, obviously, footy clubs that are 150 years old are going to have deep echoes, as he called it, in the halls. But he hadn't witnessed anything that said that these couldn't work together. And he's just simply made the process that, everyone will channel through him, and then he'll be almost like a adjudicator on what happens going forward. But he wants to be the best informed to make a decision regarding all information gathered by those three people. And I think where we're at, I think that's not a bad idea because Craig Bozo has been a successful club in the last, 5 to 6 years in the West Coast Eagles. And I have a bit more faith in him than I did, say, Xavier Campbell, who talked more about, finances and so forth, as opposed to Craig Bozo with this deep footy background.
Yeah, absolutely, James. It's good that he's got a clear vision of the role and how he wants to implement his style of leadership, which is fantastic. And I think it's good that he can just cut through the crap and say, look, if they've got issues, that's fine. We're going to work together and try to resolve this together. And this is the way I'm going to go about it. And I suppose you're making decisions from there rather than sort of pander around and act like nothing's happening. He's just gonna face it as it is. And I think it's good. They'll be made to I suppose be aware that he's going to be looking after the situation, so they need to toe the line. So I think it's it's a it's good starting and having that footy background to speak with that from that place of knowledge. They won't be able to pull the wool over his eyes and make it a he said, she said kind of thing. So I think it does sound like he's got a fair handle and everything, mate.
So it'll be interesting how that plays out because, that's much better than having the charade of the Doro not wanting to communicate with Marnie. And by the way, Bozo didn't say that's true. He said, I know for a fact they communicate with one another. I think it's more when it becomes the list manager saying this and the footy manager's pushing back. That was where it was starting to get, a bit of negativity towards one another. And instead of doing that part process and going through Craig, that to me makes more sense because, for example, if the Doro threw up something and Marnie says, no, we're not doing that, he's probably heard, the Doro would feel he's been unheard or he's, Marnie's just doing it to upset him. But if you hear it from Craig Bozo and he says, no, Adrian, that's not going to work for us because I think where you want to put resources, into playing group, I don't think there's a hole there that we need to do that. You probably won't take it as personally as, with someone who you've had a clash with personally, in your previously, sorry. And to me, like, if we put it back to workplaces, thankfully we don't work at places like this, mate, but there is cultures of work systems where, one faction of the work group doesn't want to do something that is told to them by another part. And that historically leads to, sometimes a bad culture because either party doesn't want to work, deal with the other. So have that adjudicator, so to speak, or moderator can be actually quite helpful in balancing any personality traits that might be presenting.
Yeah, absolutely. Bit of a moderator role.
Well, let's get into the game, mate, because I don't think there was that much more news unless you wanted to add anything else.
No, mate. No, let's get into it. Rip the band-aid off.
Let's go. So the quarter started, mate, and obviously St Kilda we're celebrating the 150th year. They had Plugger out there, or Plugger in the change rooms, and I'm sure that gave them a lift. But they certainly came out a bit more focused for us, and we looked a bit bumbly.
Did mate. They were on from the get-go. We saw within the first minute, they had a shot at goal. I missed the Burns before Mason Wood bobbed up with one. And that would be a feature of the night. Mason Woody, he torched us on a number of occasions during the night, Jane. I know he's a decent player, but sometimes we have a tendency to make some players look like superstars. But look, then that was followed up pretty soon after by Philippou. Nearly put it to the sword. Fortunately missed before Anthony Caminiti kicked one. And he's another one who torched us on the night, Jamin. It was just a it was entry after entry to the Saints, and each time they would enter the forward 50, Jane, they'd get a scoring opportunity. So, Marshall and Owens had shots but missed. Mitch Owens kicked one through before Dan Butler kicked one. Jack Higgins followed that, and in the blink of an eye, they were up 5-4 to 0-0. Like, just bupkis happening.
Yeah, and I think the other thing too, mate, that I should say is that Mason Redmond was involved in 2 50-metre penalties, early on. Now I kind of forgave him for the first one because, Laverty was on the mark and ran off, and then Redmond's tried to run onto the mark from behind. Unfortunately, came into the protected area and, that's why that one was 50, but he would have seen there's no one on the mark. I better get on there. But obviously, you can't do that. And the second one was a bit of a brain fade, as you say. He really just forced the ball into the Saints player. And the umpire's always going to call that one.
Oh, I mean, look, on both those occasions, there was no intent there, but yeah, he could have been a bit more considered. Like he did throw the ball back, pretty forcefully. In years gone by, that wouldn't have been 50 at all, but it is what it is. But I think, and those you can go, yeah, not great, but they happened. But they seem to totally spook him, James. It was like from that moment on, he got into his head, like he got frustrated, and he wasn't able to perform, to the level that we know he's capable of for the rest of the night.
Yeah, it was disappointing because Mason started the season so well. That really, as you said, I agree with you, mate. It really did spook him because he just wasn't in the same player that we'd seen the previous 2 weeks on the back of that. And a lot of it may have been self-doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I say, Jamie wasn't alone. I thought, Lav wasn't playing particularly up to his standards. I think that Caminiti's got a bit of height, speed, and size about him. I don't know whether he got under Lav's skin or not. But he seemed to, I don't know, play within himself. But fortunately, towards the end of the quarter, Archie Perkins bobbed up. He tried to get an influence on the game, and after one sider, where he got the behind, he had the ball from outside 50 and bloody launched it, mate, and kicked it straight through.
And a very good goal and a very needed one for us. And then actually, when this quarter ended, we really needed a goal because we were 5-4 down at one stage. To get those last couple of scores, at least it showed that we had a little bit of fight in us, but could we continue it in the second quarter?
Yeah, and I guess one thing to reflect on, James, throughout that quarter, so that's one quarter of football, Callum Wilkie had five intercept possessions just after quarter time, James. Four of those were intercept marks, so we kicked it straight to him, straight down his throat. He had a field day, and that continued to be a theme throughout the night. We just allowed him to dictate terms to us, really. So our forward entries going inside 50 still need quite a bit of work. We had, what, two scores out of our 12 inside 50 entries throughout that quarter. Whereas, as I said before, the Saints were getting on the scoreboard each and every time they went in. So, not the greatest start. Fortunately, though, coming into the second, we saw Dylan Scheel come through. and sell candy not once but twice, three times even, and then yeah, slot it from, you know, but what, 40 out or so, Jane?
Yeah, it was a beautiful goal, and yeah, we haven't seen enough of that from Dylan, you know. And this year, yeah, he kicked two goals last week, and as we'll find out, he kicked another two this week. Yeah, those goal kicking midfielders are very hard to find. And that was a really classy goal. We've talked about this often, mate, that we're needing to pin his ears back more and have a ping and just try to always handball or kick it off. When he's in range, he can be a good kicker of footy, so we just need him to have a shot, and I'm glad he got some confidence out of that.
Absolutely, mate. And then it was a, yeah, bit of a sort of loose but contested sort of brand for quite a while, James. Neither side were able to really wrestle control of the game for a while. We saw Nick Martin bob up, and he was really trying to influence the game through, you know, running some good lines, you know, getting some nice disposals, kicking it to some people who in dangerous positions. And ultimately, he came through and had a shot at goal. Really should have kicked it, Jane. He was probably only about 30 metres out or so. Yeah, probably had a good 5 metres of space each side. And normally you'd pencil it in. But unfortunately, he didn't put it through. And it really hurts when you miss one up your end. And up the other end, Jack Higgins got one and kicked it straight through. It was a bit of a dead-eye dick for him.
Yeah.
For the Saints.
12-point play, wasn't it? You know?
Yep.
It's the goal you're supposed to kick, and then it goes down the other way, and they score, and you've done yourself out of, you know, not only scoring against them, but then having one scored back on you.
Yeah, how they hurt you. We got one back a little while through Jake Stringer. Now, earlier in the game, he got a free kick on the in the pocket there on the boundary, and it was like he kind of was mid-minded between, oh, should I have a ping? Should I spot it up? And in the end, he just, you know, spewed it like straight across goal for out of bounds on the full. But fortunately, did kick a goal. But unfortunately, that was followed up soon after by another Jack Higgins goal. And again, we tried to wrestle back momentum. Got it forward a few times. John Menzies bobbed up with a nice goal, Jane.
As I said, badly needed.
Certainly was before Nick Martin again had a missed shot at goal to end out the quarter. And, you know, we finished the half only the 18 points down, which I think we were pretty fortunate, really. You know, 4-5 to their 7-5. You know, I thought really they had more opportunities that they could have made use of. I'd say in terms of our defenders, you know, Redmond and Lav weren't playing their best games, but Callie was he was everywhere, Jane. You know, just menacing his man, trying to get a fist in everywhere. Ridley was playing solid, not outstanding, but solid, playing a decent role down there. And McGrath in particular, I thought was playing pretty well to try and keep us in the game, but it was. It was tough going for him. And, yeah, as we entered the third term, yeah, it was a bit of aerial ping pong for a while. You know, neither side was able to capitalise and get a bit of momentum.
And then there was no score, mate, until 11 minutes, 45 seconds into that third term.
Yeah. But I will say during that period, like, we had the footy enough and we really could have made more of our opportunities. And it was a kick from Dyson Heppel, in the rough vicinity of Jake Kelly. Like, Jake Kelly really had to run for it. And, you know, it looked like he'd done a hammy. You know, he was sort of really clutching for the side there. And I thought, like, you know, at that time, and I know we've already talked about it, but, like, Heppel wasn't under a huge amount of pressure. You know, he was basically free on the wing there. Just had to bob it over to Kelly, but really made him stretch for it. And, yeah, it was looking pretty bad there because, yeah, Kelly, if he was off, and he was our best defender at the time, and I'd say throughout the game, yeah, that could have really hurt us. So soon after, we saw Caminiti have another shot at goal. Fortunately, he missed before Archie Perkins bobbed up, kicked his second, which is excellent to see. Later on, we saw Harry Jones have a mark and a kick from goal from about 40, 45 metres out, a fair angle, you have to say. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to slot it. Now, we know he's capable of those. I'm sure, given more confidence, he will kick them as he's done in the past. But we need them from him to really lift us. Fortunately, Nick Martin did bob up and kick a goal for us. But then the wheels fell off, mate. We saw Dan Butler get an easy couple of goals. And they're smalls, they chopped us up all night.
Yeah, well, between Butler and Higgins, there was 8 goals kicked. So that was a big point of difference to them. We had to work really hard to get goals, and some of their goals seemed quite, pedestrian because it was made easy for them.
Certainly was, mate. So going into that third term, we'll be down by 19 points. So 6-6-42 to their 9-goal-7-61. And that's when a bit of Jai time happened, mate. Jai Caldwell came out. He picked an absolute beauty to start us off.
That's an awesome goal. He's so hard at it, Jai, and he hasn't been getting much midfield time. And that might be a point of discussion at some point, that the amount of times we're playing Merritt Parish and Shield, we're really not having a look at many others. But Jai, he's really made himself, real tenacious and fierce player at the footy, and great goal, showed a lot of skill.
So he did, mate. Then we saw Kyle Langford, the goal kicker from last week, bob up and kick one. Jai Caldwell had another ping before he again came out and kicked an absolute ripper.
Yeah, that like I said, a bit like Welfi's kick last week, mate, where it just went up in the air and you're wondering how that going to go through, and it just floated through beautifully. And again, I really believe he meant that. It was a really classy kick.
So one on the left, one on the right. So he did really well there, Jai, and we'd leveled the scores, and you think, oh, geez, we had a bit of momentum here. But unfortunately, that's where it stopped. We just ground to a halt, and we allowed St Kilda to then got in a run. So Higgins, Gresham, Windhager, Butler, and Brad Hill all kicking goals to finish off and allow the Saints fans to get up and about. We've got a couple of late consolation goals to Parrish and Shield. And the thing, oh, look, perhaps I'm being a bit of a curmudgeon, Jane, but the thing that kind of disappointed me about that was Darcy Parrish, after he kicked that goal, knowing we were still quite a way down, weren't going to win, kicked it and he's off giving high fives to everyone. Like, oh, how good's that? I kind of don't like to see that, Joe. Maybe just being a grumpy bugger that I am. But when the game's lost, don't celebrate like we're doing great because we played poorly. Darcy Parrish himself had a solid game, but I don't know. But anyway, later on, Dylan Shiel kicked another quite nice goal for us. To make the scoreboard look better than it really was, Jane. So we've lost by 3 goals essentially. So 11-8 to their 14-8. But as you say, Jane, it felt like a bigger loss than that. The Saints really could have put us to the sword. A lot more. We coughed up the footy a lot, and fair bit of work to do, I'd say.
For sure. And just to read that stat, mate, the Saints were plus 32 points from turnovers, and they're kicking 11 goals, 5 of 71, which made up 77% of their score was off Essendon turnovers. So, that's a big chunky score just on the back of our more work.
Yep.
And as you said, that Wilkie, he took 7 intercept paths and really repelled a lot of our attacks and set up forward attacks for them. So yeah, it's a double-edged sword, and unfortunately, you can only use that game as a learning tool.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, all right. So, well, let's have a break, mate, and come back with our Don's Cast medal votes. And you're listening to Don's Cast. And as always, we go to our Don's Cast medal votes. And mate, it was hard last week to give votes for different reasons than it is this week.
Absolutely, mate. Yeah, it was a cast of how many played well, as opposed to this week where it was a little bit harder. I still found votes for enough blokes. And, you know, like always, it's subjective. So, yeah, I'm sure there'll be plenty of people who disagree, agree, all of the above. But I'll go through it. So from the bottom, as I always do. So for the one vote, I went for Sammy Draper. I thought he showed a much improved performance from that preseason game, where yeah, he really did have his colours lowered rather. Bloody hell. By the St. Kilda Ruckman, who's Rowan Marshall, that's it. I thought he put up quite a good display, Sammy Draper, on the night. I didn't set the world on fire in terms of possessions, but yeah, battled hard in the ruck. Had like 5 tackles, which I thought was pretty huge. Took a number of marks, a number of clearances as well, and overall, yeah, tried to remain in the game. I thought, yeah, particularly in the latter stages of the game, he really tried to get us going. Wasn't able to get us over the line, but I thought his energy was always appreciated. So one vote to Draper. 2 votes, I went for Nick Martin. I thought his running patterns, really good. His ball use probably wasn't the best we've ever seen from him. Not terrible, but certainly didn't set the world on fire. Like went at 60.7% disposal efficiency, so not his best, but had 9 score involvements. Set players up in various positions. Had 7 contested possessions as well. So I thought overall he had a decent game. Took the 7 marks as well, which is really good. So I thought I'd give him a couple of votes. 3 votes I went for McGrath. Down back, I thought he played a really solid role. The backs were sort of pressured quite a lot, but I thought, taking 6 marks, running the ball up the field for us, used the ball pretty effectively as well, like over 80%. Had 5 score involvement, so I thought he played a good role for us, Andy. So, 3 votes to him. 4 votes actually went for Dylan Scheel. Kicked a couple of goals, but I thought actually his run and carry was quite useful and showed that defensive side of his game as well. 8 tackles, which was huge for us. 5 clearances, as we know, is his one wood. I thought he played probably one of the best games he has for the club. So I went for the 4 votes for him. 5 votes, though, I had to go for Jake Kelly. Unfortunately, racked up plenty of the footy. And I say unfortunately because you don't want it down back that often, but 29 disposals. With 11 marks thrown in there, James, with 16 intercept possessions, huge numbers, used the ball really well, over 85%, with 11 contested possessions as well. He really fought the game out. But I think, potentially a fairly big reason why the margin wasn't greater than it already was. So there's my votes, Jane, but how about yourself? How'd you read it?
Yeah, we had similar votes, mate. I gave 5 to Kelly. I thought that was his best game for the club. Really held us up considering how much footy is coming into that St Kilda forward line, I thought he was the one defender, along with Ridley, that had a bit of presence. And Love was trying hard, I should say, but we just I just thought that he was the leader of the back line on the night. I gave four votes to Shield as well, but just because of those two goals as well really adds to his game. And he was working very hard in the inside. Maybe a question on, are we getting enough midfield rotations? I would have liked to have seen Jake Stringer thrown in there for a little bit longer. Or at least Jai Caldwell, because again, just felt like we were relying on too few in the midfield. But Dylan Shield had a really good game. I gave three to Nick Martin. I thought, you mentioned it, mate, but he ran the lines well. Would have liked him to kick that first shot of goal he had. I think that was definitely in his, his suitcase to kick that one. Unfortunately, pulled the wrong thing out of the kit bag and missed it, but made up for it a bit later on, which is good. But he's a dangerous player because he's wiry, but he's such a smart footballer. So really lucky to get him as a SSP player, mate. I think on his presence now, you'd gladly give away a first round pick for him almost, because he's that important to us. But to get him prior SSP was really a much of a bonus. Now, I gave two votes to Parrish, mate, and I know you didn't give him a vote, and I can understand why, but I thought Parrish worked hard pretty much all game. His kicking's never been, like, his kicking skills aren't his strong suit. But he does roll up his sleeves and go hard to get the footy. And I thought he did quite well around the clearances and so forth, but just could have used the ball a bit better. And I gave one vote to Caldwell, and I know he didn't get much midfield time, but those two goals and just his presence around the footy now, even the opposition know he's coming and he's not going to hold back. So I think that puts him on edge a bit. So rewarded him with one vote.
Beautiful. All right, mate. Well, I'll tally him up. So going from the bottom, as always. So on a vote apiece, we got Caldwell and Draper. Two votes, we got Zerk Thatcher. Andy McGrath on three votes. On five votes each, we got Perkins and Martin. On six votes, we got Ridley. Seven votes each, we got Merritt and Setterfield. On eight votes each, we got Parrish and Scheel. On nine votes, we got Langford. Kelly's on 10. And still out in front is Mason Redmond on 18, Don's cast metal votes.
Oh, that's good. I was unaware, mate. Is that right? Was that Andy McGrath's first votes for the season?
It is for us, mate. Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Oh, I thought he played really well in another game, but
Well, I think the caveat on that one is he started poorly,
yes.
and then came
Worked
good.
into the game, yeah. That surprised me, but he's been better down back, I think. And I think the reason I didn't give him any votes was mainly because, and I know it's a system-based thing, but those small for them, so many goals. I think him and Massimo needed to do a bit more, because there's times where those players just jogged him with goals, and I know we take our chances, but I just hope we're not building McGrath to be of playing a midfield role from the back line, if you know what I mean. But I still want him to be accountable, because that's when he's played his best footy, when he's been focused on beating his opponent too.
I mean, the way I saw it, I thought he was quite accountable, but I think, yeah, you don't want to pile it on a young bloke, but when you got Mason Bieber not playing his best game, Lav not playing his best game. I thought Massimo got found out defensively because we were trying to use him offensively. You don't put it on Mass, but definitely a learning opportunity for him. And I think realistically, like the St Kilda Smalls, they are classy, Jane. Like Butler, Higgins, Gresham, like all known for being able to kick goals. So it's not like, we lowered our colours to less vaunted opponents. Like they're good players, but you need to play the man. And I think their system, they worked us out pretty quickly. So that's on the team defence, I'd say.
Yeah, right. Well, let's also talk about our VFL team, mate. We realised that they had a loss, and it was quite a reversal of fortune, really, for both sides. Last week we beat GWS by 80, which you wouldn't believe that the Giants actually came out and I think beat Carlton quite convincingly in the VFL. When you see last week's performances, there's big fortune swings because when we played Sandringham, they'd come off the back of an 87-point loss and they ended up beating us by, I think it was 34 points or, it's quite a large margin. And we started that game so well, maybe kicked the first two goals of the match. But from there, Sandy really took a hold of us. Obviously we had a weakened side as opposed to the other VFL team we named last week. There were some concerns on the way that team structured up as well.
Yeah, absolutely, Jane. I mean, like again, they seem to like. I know we kicked the first couple of goals in the game, but after that, they kind of jumped us. And by half time, we were down by, basically 6 goals, which is very bloody tough to come back from. And like we did try admirably, to fight back. Got back a few goals in that third term, but then Sandringham just put the foot down and blew us away toward the end. So it
Was
was
a
pretty.
bit, I was going to say just quickly, it was a bit like the game against St Kilda for us on Saturday night. Gave up big leads before trying to track them down and then only for them to kick away again. So that was quite a unique coincidence between the two games.
It was it wasn't the best. I mean, it wasn't without its good sides. Voss continues to beat down the door, Jane. He had another 4 goals, which is fantastic. And he showed some good contested work. I mean, I've only seen the highlights, but a good couple of marks, a strong tackle to win one of his frees and goals. He's kicking. Just seems so solid, Jane. Like, he'd run from the pocket, some from range. He's got plenty in the kit bag. So, certainly doing everything he can to earn that AFL call up.
Yeah, I watched the whole game and we looked a really defensively, we looked pretty poor. They really had strong presence in their forward 50. Unfortunately, lost Baldwin for it seemed like a quarter or two when he actually cut his head at some point during the game, mate, early in the game. And he had to come back on wearing the number 51, and hence his jumper soaked in blood. And he gave away a lot of free kicks when he came back on, a lot of hands in the back and a few 50 meters as well. Our back line looked a bit shaky down there, especially against their tools. If we just go through some of the players, unfortunately, Mankara. Really, I don't think he touched the footy, mate. He's a work in progress, so we're not expecting him to be brilliant. He just could not get into the game at all. I can't wait to watch this guy develop. But it was a hard lesson for him. Snelling got a lot of the footy, mate. I wouldn't say that he was banging the door down to make the senior side. Had a bit of the footy. Rhett Montgomery, mate, he seems like an interesting player. Seems like a third tall or someone who could take a good intercept mark. So I think at some stage we'll probably see him get an opportunity. Pat Boss, as you said, he certainly kicked the four goals, and he has a presence about him, mate. And here's one for you. You know, on the back of, the season when they've all played, Wiedemann and also Harry Jones, I don't think either of them have the same presence that Pat Boss does, and I know he only does it in the VFL at this stage, but I think we need that kind of forward that will make defenders second guess.
Yep.
And he's got a bit more intensity. So, it'd be very interesting to see if Brad Scott and the committee open the door for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Like that's something like the forward that demands the football, James. Like the only one we've got is Jake Stringer, you have to say. And he's not a lead up mark forward, James. So yeah, we've really missed that kind of presence in our forward line. So I'd love to see him in. And he's, as I said, like he's doing everything he can to beat the door down. So, it'll be hard to ignore. He's kicked what, three, four, five, four, something like that. No,
He kicked
he's.
four goals too on the weekend. I think he kicked, five goals in week one.
Yep.
And then, goals in every game he's played, even when he played in that scratch match, mate, against the Gold Coast.
Yep.
He only played about 10 minutes of that game. And he was a presence, you know what I mean? He kicked the goal and looked like he had a few tricks.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. No, he's doing well.
And I should mention that on the back of last week's win, two players from that side didn't play at all this weekend, and that was Matt Guelfi and also Andrew Phillips. And both weren't named as injured at the start of, before the game teams were named. But we came to learn that both were experiencing some hamstring awareness, as they call it. And so both sat out the game this weekend. So it'll be interesting to see if that was planned management of Phillips. He's getting on. I think he must be 32 or 33 years old now, mate. So that may have been a planned rest for him. So it'll be interesting to see if they bring him back for the structure. And Mac Welfi, he did quite a good role playing the sub last week. Unfortunately, seemed to tweak something during the week, and hopefully it's not a long term one.
No, absolutely not. Certainly don't want injuries there. I mean, we keep getting players back, but we keep sending more to the rehab group. So I'd say it's not going to keep me out for too long.
Now BZT was the other player, mate, that didn't play this week from that winning side. Now the club hasn't been that. They've said that he's rolled his ankle and so forth, but they haven't really been definitive with the timeline on that. I really hope I don't see a press release sometime during the week where he's got syndesmosis and he can write off 8 weeks. You know what I mean? So let's hope he's not too far away from playing again, because I think structurally we need him in the side.
Yeah, absolutely, Jamie's he's become pretty important to us. Particularly with our other young defensive stocks out injured as well. Certainly need him back as soon as we're able.
Now Ben Hobbs, mate, he was another one who was taken off at training during the week. What appeared to be a nasty ankle injury. Now he didn't play despite being named in the VFL side. So again, haven't heard any definitive news from the club to say that he's all clear. But he's certainly a player that would like to get back into our senior side, because I think he's gonna have a big part to play as the years go by.
Yeah, absolutely, James. Real shame because he was, basically got leather poisoning last week. So we would have been a big out for the VFL boys, and certainly we'd love to see him in the ones. So let's hope he's back fighting fit soon.
And Just a player that caught my eye, mate. He got plenty of the footy. I don't know if he really jumped out of the park, but Quinton Arfield, he had a heap of footage during the game, and yeah, he was quite good in the clearances. So I'm sure he's really pressing, hoping for a mid-season draft addition to any side, to be honest. But like, obviously, he'd be pushing for ours, and yeah, I certainly didn't think he hurt his chances of that.
No, and it's funny, like, because you look at the other guys who were pushing for that spot. And I mean, Cleaver, I didn't see a lot from him from the little I saw of the game, Jane. So you can't say he's beaten the door down yet. And so, like, for Quinton Arkell, I think, you know, he's as you say, he's not doing his chances any harm. He's certainly finding enough of the pill and you know, doing enough for the team. And I think he seems to be filling a little bit of a leadership role, Jane, like a more senior, seasoned body out there. So no, he's doing well. I think yeah, the one knock I'd probably have on him, whether it's true for anyone else or not, is just his disposals. Yeah, to make a bit more sure of some of them, but certainly he's got no problem finding the footy.
Correct. And another player, mate, that I wanted to mention was Lewis Hayes. Now, he had a tough day, I'd say that. Like, he's given away a lot of kilos to those sandy forwards. He certainly had a crack at it, but yeah, he certainly had a tough day at the office too, you know. So this will be part of his development, going up against these brutes. But a couple of times he looked promising. He took some good marks. One looked really good and got taken off him because there had been a free kick given away by Montgomery. But yeah, he certainly got a. I think there's something there, mate, with this kid, and you know, we're just gonna have to be patient. But you know, considering our key defensive spot stocks, you know, obviously we're hoping for Coxie and Reed to get going soon. It might not be as weak as we originally thought. I think if we can get those guys more developed into all three of those, we'll actually come out with a bit of a strength of ours.
Well, look, as long as we can keep them on the
Yeah, well, that's been our challenge, isn't it?
park, mate.
It's been really hard to do that. So, I guess that's the battle we're having. Another player, mate, Alistair Lord. He's nippy, but I can't, you know, I'm not seeing enough of him to think that he could press for a senior selection at any time soon.
Nah, it's like yeah, it's like he can see what he wants to do, but he just doesn't back himself to do it. I know that's the perception I get from watching him, because it looks like he's got the speed, he's got the tricks. But if you don't back yourself and don't put it out there, it's a bit hard to yeah, I suppose to see whether he'll make it or not. And you know, currently I can't see him making it unless he yeah, really shows yeah, a bit more in the coming games.
Yeah, and to start the game, mate, Tex Wanganeen kicked a beautiful goal off one step, really, and unfortunately didn't do a lot more throughout the game. Took a nice mark at one stage, but you know, yeah, he's just gonna have to work on being more of a contributor throughout the whole entire game. It was a hard game for him because yeah, Sandy dominated possession in their forward line, so. It wasn't like the ball just kept rocking back to our forward line, so his opportunities were limited. But yeah, he's certainly going to be a player that we hope will add to our crumbing forward stocks. And just lastly, mate, Cam McBride, yeah, he had next to no influence on that game at all. Did a little bit of resting in the ruck and. Tried to play key decision back, but yeah, really, really tried, but yeah, couldn't get into the game, mate, and you know, didn't really beat his opponent. So yeah, still a lot of work to do for McBride to before he can even be considered for a senior selection. And lastly, mate, our BFLW ladies had the grand final rematch. Fortunately, it was a bit of a spanking. The Saints totally dominated and you know, won the game pretty convincingly.
It's a bit of a shame because, at the quarter time break, we'd kick two goals straight through Caitlin Sargent, who was a bit of a presence up forward, and then didn't kick a goal for the rest of the game. While the Saints were able to pile on six goals, six in the end to put us away by 25 points. A bit rough for the ladies. But that's footy sometimes. You taste the highest highs, and unfortunately the come down is can be a bit rough. But I'm sure they'll steady out throughout the course of the season. It has to be remembered that from our VFLW side last year, a lot of those ladies went into the AFLW side. So the list makeup for the VFLW is quite different. So I'm sure throughout the season they'll work together and continue to develop as a team.
Yeah, so it's always hard, mate, when all three of your sides that weekend have a loss. So hopefully we can talk a bit more positively about our teams next week.
That's
And
it.
let's have a break and we'll come back and buy the numbers. And you're listening to Don's Cast as we go through the numbers or by the numbers. And mate, we start with Andy McGrath, and you found votes for him. And he certainly racked up the footy, having 24 disposals, 12 kicks, 12 handballs, and six passes, just the one tackle. But he certainly found his niche playing halfback.
Certainly has, mate. Given us a lot of running carry, and I thought he played relatively well defensively. I'd like to see those tackle numbers up. But I still think he had a good outing for us. So a good game for mine.
Now Sam Draper had to go up against Rowan Marshall, who's a very good ruckman in his own right. I actually thought Draper, I thought Marshall jumped him at the start, but I thought Draper kind of really did well in the second to third quarters and in the last quarter, having to do a large chunk of it on his own. I thought he played okay. You never look at ruckman stats and expect him to jump out at you. He just had the nine disposals, 27 hit outs, five tackles, mate. So that shows the big guy's really trying to put some pressure on the opposition as well.
Yeah, definitely, James. I thought he had a decent game, gave him a vote. Tried his hardest to be that sort of barometer for us, get us up and about. So I thought that that was worthy of a vote. So I thought a solid game.
Darcy Parrish, I found votes for him, mate. You didn't, but and I understand why. And he had 35 disposals, so we've got to look past that. 17 kicks, 16 handballs, and then, sorry, 18 handballs, and then we had the seven marks, two tackles. But I thought he certainly found the footy, but that disposal efficiency, mate, 63%. And it had been raining and a bit wet, but that's something that would take him to the next level if he could improve his kicking a little.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it is just one of those things, Jane, where we're just so used to him collecting that amount of the footy that it can go a bit unrewarded at times. So he does show that attacking mindset, which is good. Like, he's definitely always getting the pill, getting the clearances, and getting us going forward. But unfortunately, our forward entries are such that they don't give our forwards the best opportunity to actually score. So, that, as you say, Jay, would elevate his game, to higher than it already is. A solid game. Well done, Darcy Parrish.
Kyle Langford, he's our hero last week, mate, with the five goals. Went back defensively and he muffed up a kick, mate, that Mason Redmond hit him in the first quarter. Dropped it and then was called for throwing the ball, or letting a disposal. It wasn't a great start considering what he came off. But he worked his way into the game. He ended up having 17 disposals. He kicked the goal when he went back forward and took the 7 mark around the ground. Just the one tackle. That's something, as I said, we'd like to see that improve a little. But it's a bit hard for him to find momentum when we're really using him as a Mr. Fix-It.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of felt like he never really got into the game, Jane. Like he was able to find the footy enough, but not enough to, I suppose, be all that effective one way or the other. I'd have to say, an average game because he didn't really impact for the line apart from, kicking a goal. Maybe a bit harsh, but. I think that's really the result of positioning. I think he would have been much better suited for us on the night to be playing up forward. But I guess it is what it is.
I will say one thing, mate. He had 94% disposal efficiency. Sorry, so he used the ball quite well right through the game. So just wasn't damaging. So that's just something that we could see an improvement from. Jai Caldwell, mate. I found a vote for him. Kicked two miraculous goals in the last quarter. And again, he's not getting much midfield minutes at all. I think he only went in there for one clearance, mate. But he's still racked up, the 18 disposals, 2 marks, and a couple of tackles. So, the 2 goals was really beneficial in that last. And I just think he's going to be one we can really bank on going forward, mate. He's still such a young man. He's got a long career in front of him, and he's going to improve remarkably, I think, with more games.
Yeah, absolutely, James. Like you can definitely always see it with Jai Caldwell. Like even now, like his disposal numbers, like they're not huge, but they're up already from what it has been like previous years. And just seeing him continually get a good run, fitness, more games under his belt, will just do him the world of good. He shows he can be so damaging with ball in hand. I mean, we saw last week how he was able to burst away from stoppages and pump it inside towards the goal line there, and then this week was able to bowl up with a couple himself. He's got all the talent in the world. So I thought he had a really solid game. Could have easily given him a vote.
Zach Merritt, mate, our captain. It was a tough day. They obviously targeted him, the Saints. They know how damaging he can be. He still racked up 25 disposals, but he was always under pressure. He really had to earn his kicks and marks and so forth. But he ended up having 7 tackles. And that's one thing I'm really happy with Zach's leadership. He's showing that defensive part. And his effort, being at the ground live, you see how hard he runs to apply pressure on the opposition. I've seen a big improvement in that. So I think that's a statement by him to his other players that, hey, if I can bust my gut chasing, so can you.
Absolutely right, Jay. Like, it's funny when I was looking at doing my votes, like I almost considered him, not because of his output, but just because of that, I suppose that influence out on the ground that, him demonstrating that defensive intent, because he was, and when he'd lay a tackle, Jamie, he wasn't stuffing around. He was laying him to hurt. And I thought he fought his way back into the game because, as he said, like the Saints were straight onto him, not giving him an inch of space, particularly early. So for him to be able to, bob up and still, impact the game in his way, like and get free when he could to use his foot skills, which we desperately need. It was really well done. I thought he fought out the game well. So a solid game from Zach.
Similarly, Dylan Shield played a really good game down in the midfield as well. He had the 22 disposals, 15 kicks, 7 handballs, which is the right ratio for Dylan. Would much rather him kicking the ball than handball. I know his kicking can be off target sometimes, but you want him to be that first player, use his speed and run and actually hit targets and go for goal. And he kicked 2 goals on the night. And what I'm really impressed with, mate, 8 tackles. So Dylan, the criticism of him was he run fast one way but not the other. That's changed as well. And again, that shows that both Zach and Dylan, and you could say the same to Darcy, you know, even though he only had the two, there's a bit more focus on applying some pressure.
Yeah, definitely, Jane. Both obviously talked about him earlier. I thought he had a really good game for us. Like, not huge, disposal numbers, but what he did with it was effective, and I thought he played a solid game for us. So well done, Dylan.
Sam Wiedemann, mate, he came back into the side after that toe, turf injury, or turf toe injury, I should say. Had a tough night, mate. He had a chance to take a few more marks than he did. He actually dropped a few, mate, that landed in his bread basket, but he just couldn't hold them. He had the 11 disposals, back up ruckman to Sam Draper, but didn't add anything to the scoreboard and wasn't really a presence up forward. And it was a tough night for him. The conditions probably didn't suit him, and the Saints definitely made him our forward line look a bit cluttered. And he just didn't have real influence on the game.
Yeah, I agree with that, James. He seems to, really be missing, us having a focal point up there. Like, he'd love a Peter Wright, so he wouldn't have to be the number one or even the number two, big forward for us. So, I'd have to say it was a pretty average game for him. Didn't impact, as you said. But I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I think he does have a lot to offer us. Better for the run, I'd say.
Will Sutterfield, he racked up another 21 disposals, mate, since coming across from Carlton. 12 kicks, 9 handballs, 7 marks, and 4 tackles. But he wasn't as influential as he was the previous week. And again, there was a bit, I don't know, seeing the game, even though it was played in more damp conditions, seemed a bit of pace above him. He looked a bit out of position at the time.
Yeah, agree with that, James. I didn't think it was his best game for us. He still contributed, but definitely wasn't as damaging as he had been in previous games. I thought he didn't really show a lot of impact for mine. He still had seven score involvements, a few inside 50s. And still laid a number of tackles. Had the four tackles there, but just wasn't overly influential. So I'd have to say an average game from setters.
Now, Jordan Ridley, he's a player that I nearly gave votes to, mate. His effort was definitely there. I love, the way that he uses the footy. 21 disposals, 17 of them kicks, which is, his strength. 14 marks, mate. But a lot of them were sideways kicks and marks, and but he certainly didn't let us down in terms of effort. And, it was a tough night for the defenders and. Yeah, he just missed out on my votes.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't lack for effort, Jane, but I think one thing for Jordan Ridley this game is disposals. They actually hurt us at times, which is un-Ridley-like. Seven clangers, Jane, which is huge for him. You don't mark him solely against that, but to go with that, gave away four free kicks. Which at that end of the ground can be pretty costly. I think our back line as a whole looked pretty panicky all night. And while he was generally a steadying influence, there were times where I'm sure he'd like his time back. I'd have to say, like, he was solid, definitely, but sometimes that kicking, and again, he wasn't the only one. But when you see Jordan Ridley lacing out St Kilda blokes, it doesn't help the cause.
Definitely not. Jaden Laverty, tough day at the office for him too. Efforts there, but at times he looks a little undersized, doesn't he? And he took 9 marks as well, mate. Again, 0 tackles and just couldn't really have a dominant influence down back.
No, I'd agree with that, James. I thought he had a pretty average night. Old Lav, yeah, we love him because he, yeah, usually gives his heart and soul, but unfortunately wasn't able to impact the game. I do think the Saints got into our heads a bit, but I'm sure he'll bounce back bigger and better next week.
Archie Perkins, two goals on the night, mate, and one ripper from just outside 50, which is really promising. Again, he's another player I'd love to see give some midfield minutes to. It seems we've been reluctant to play anyone else other than those three players in centre field have been playing in the midfield bulk of the match. Archie, I'd love to see him develop into a mid forward who can really have an impact. But the two goals are a bit of class, and it's fun watching him develop and become the player that we suspect he'll be.
Yeah, absolutely, Jay. Lucky. Yeah, he shows so much class out there, like kicking a couple of goals, taking five marks and laying a few tackles, which is really good to see from him. So he's performing more consistently than he has in the past. Like he hasn't starred in any of the games, like maybe round one, kicking a few goals there, but I think his consistency of performance is what's really promising for mine. So another solid game from Archie Perkins.
Nick Hind, who had 42 disposals in the previous VFL game, came up against as a sub or came into the Saints against his old side. And mate, I've got to say, he had 30 disposals in that last quarter or so, and but he didn't really have an influence on the game, I didn't think. It didn't feel like he added much in terms of a damaging presence from a sub point of view. But I think. His speed can be a weapon. And I thought it was the right idea implementing him into the game. I would have chosen Heppel to sub off as opposed to Jones. But I thought he could be a line breaker that could break through to the Saints' zone defence. But as it played out, the Saints were wary of him, obviously knowing him as a previous player. They didn't want to give him too much space, so they used his assets, which would be his pace and line breaking.
Yeah, no, like I thought he played okay, but it seemed like he was out there to play an offensive role rather than defensive. And unfortunately, I think he left us open, where we saw, Butler, Gresham, and Higgins, and Hill be able to kick goals because our defensive pressure wasn't there. I think, between, all of our back six, really. We left ourselves too open. We were going for the Hail Marys rather than sticking to our structures down there, which I think did hurt us in the end. So I think, it's good for him to rack up a bit of the pill. But if you're not effective going forward and you're not stopping the opposition's forwards from getting goals, that's not the role of a defender for mine. So I'd have to say he had an average game for mine, as flashy as his 13 possessions might have been.
Dyson Heppel, mate, we've spoken about this. Geez, kicking really hurts us at times. And, I look at it sometimes, and there's AFL stats, mate. It says that Dyson went at 75% disposal efficiency. That surprises me because some of these were just totally, damaging and doesn't seem to replicate on those stats.
No, well, I think he hit people lace out. Unfortunately, it was St Kilda players he was hitting lace out.
It's been a tough week for Dice after being subbed out of last week's game, and I guess he's a proud man, and he has led us through turbulent times, and he probably feels like he's owed a bit of loyalty and so forth. But this game doesn't allow for that sometimes, and Father Time waits for no one, and he's got the little monsters in his head, mate, spooking him. He's probably not best suited to be on the ground trying to lead a young side, even from a, without having the ta captain's tag. So, tough day at Dyson, and it'll be very interesting at selection if he's named
Yeah.
coming.
Yeah, definitely. I think he had a poor game. Yeah, we've already talked about it, so no use harping on it. So yeah, I guess we'll move on to next week and see what happens.
Yeah, Sam Durham, he's a real goer, mate. He tries every week. Sometimes he just doesn't have the, he doesn't have a game that jumps out at you. Like, you can't just look at stats. It's more, he does a lot of tap-ons and so forth that can be really positive for us. I thought he tried hard all night. He had the 9 kicks, 7 handballs, 7 marks, just the 2 tackles on the wing, and he's certainly worthy of a spot, but he's kind of like a utility for us in that he runs up and down the wings and sometimes pushes forward. But he nearly took a big hang, mate. He definitely tried. That was exciting, but just a so-so game for me, for Sam Durham.
Yeah, but I'd agree with that, James. Like he tries his ass off, but I think he would really benefit from a more defined role. And obviously he's still young, so he's got plenty of development to go. But I think in that sort of wing role, he can find the footy enough. He obviously uses his marking fairly well, but I think. Neither defensively nor offensively, he hasn't contributed whole amount on this match. I mean, 48 meters gained from 16 possessions tells you that. Yeah, he might have got a couple of positions, but a couple of dinky handballs and things like that. Whereas we know he's capable of much more than that. So I think perhaps a definition of his role he'd benefit from. But no, look, I still think he's worthy of getting plenty of matches of into his He shows so much promise, and I like the cut of his jib, Jane.
Harry Jones subbed out in third. He took the 4 marks, which is what he's in the side for. Has to take the most of his opportunities when he gets shots at goal. I wouldn't say it was a gimme, but at that point of the game, we really needed Harry to go back and kick that goal. So he's got that within, he's within that, he's got that skill set to do that. He just has to keep working. But I guess the question's going to come now is it worth persevering with Harry Jones and getting his 8 to 10 possessions a game and no goals? Or do we go with Voss, who plays very differently in that he's not a clunker? Like, he won't take a big clunk mark like Harry can, but he's more workmanlike and has those skills to find the footy, even if things aren't going his way.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'd love to see both of them out there. Because I think, Harry definitely needs a lot of development. I see a real player in Harry Jones. I think he's got beautiful hands. He can kick straight when he's confident, but he just needs that run of games to get that confidence. Like we saw that in 2021. I'm a big fan of his. I think there's a lot of promise, but you're right. Like he hasn't shown a lot this season. I still think he's worth persevering with. I'd say he had an average game of the weekend. But I'd love to see him, continue developed in the side. And if Brad Scott's serious about saying this is a development year, he's exactly the kind of player I'd be persevering with.
Yeah, it's a good point. Jake Stringer returned, mate, and it's fair to say it was a tough day for him. He's our lowest ranked player for the game. And like, he just had the 8 disposals, kicked the goal in the second. But yeah, really didn't offer a lot, no defensive pressure, just the 1 tackle. And yeah, the players seemed to run off him pretty easily for the Saints. With Jake, he's a mercurial player. And I must say, returning from injury, he never really returns and dominates the game. So I'd certainly persevere with Jake and wouldn't be making any snap decision. But it was a tough game for him to reintroduce himself to the side.
Yeah, I kind of felt for Stringer on the night. I mean, like we. It's not like We had another focal target, and he could come in and play second string or something like that. He was kind of thrown in the deep end, and I just when one when we'd seen him play VFL the week before, he played the three quarters, racked up plenty of the pill, played a bit of midfield time, and was fairly prominent. Obviously, there's a big difference between AFL level and VFL level, but I still think that there was more opportunity for us to get Stringer more involved in the game. I personally would have been throwing him up to more of a flank area, to see if he can get involved a bit more, like a bit more contested possession, and try and run towards goal as opposed to being parked in that forward 50, where our entries were pretty shocking. So I don't think they, gave our forwards the best opportunity. So I don't put, that low performance, just on Jake. And don't get me wrong, like when Jake's down on form and everything like that, I'm more than happy to give him his worth. But I think coming back from injury, I don't think we set him up for success.
Yeah, no, you're possibly right there, mate. Because he seemed to be chasing tail from a long way back, and I know a few commentators said, "Oh, he can't tackle. Well, he's not in there." And although he's there to put pressure on, it's hard because a lot of his chases, the game being at the game live, you see this. He's already given him a 15-meter start. Well, he's not going to make that ground on him. But importantly, he's still running and busting a gap. But unfortunately, the camera shows him trailing. And if you look at a naked eye, you think, well, he's 15 metres behind that bloke. That's where he started. He's just not making ground. You know what I mean? So the effort's there. It's just not due to our kicking inside 50, as you mentioned, so poor that it was hitting St Kilda and they were getting out of there very quickly. So made our forwards look very reactive. Mason Redmond, mate, we commented on this. It's probably his worst game that I've seen him play in the last couple of years. And you wonder what effect those early 50-meter penalties on him, what they did to his psyche, because he just didn't look the same as he had played previously. And let's hope that was just one out of the blue, and Mason gets back to his really strong 2023 form.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. Like it actually made me question whether he was like 100% fit for the game. Like, because his run wasn't there, his physicality at the contest wasn't there. It was just a really poor game for him, I'd have to say. And look, I love Mason Redmond. I think he's a really good player for us. But on the night, whether he was spooked or what, but just didn't perform to the level that we know he's capable of. So, yeah, unfortunately, I'd have to say, a poor game overall from Redders.
Yeah, we both gave Jake Kelly best on for us, mate. And that's because he had a triple double. Did you know that? He had 29 disposals, mate. And here's where the triple double comes in. And he's had 15 kicks, he's had 14 handballs, and he's had 11 marks. So it's a rare stat. You don't see that very often. And with him, it wasn't like he was just chasing stats. His was defensive marking was as the Saints were going forward.
No, absolutely, James. Like 16 intercept possessions, absolutely huge. Quadruple double, could you call it, James? But no, it's down right. But no, look, I thought he had a rip-roaring game for us, James. Definitely the best he's had for the club. So well done to Jack Kelly, because he had plenty of doubters over the off-season, James, whether he'd have a place in the 22, in the 22, and I think he's done very well to justify a spot on the side.
Yeah, definitely. Alwyn Davies Jr., mate. He had a few flashes of brilliance. Unfortunately, his kicking on the night was pretty poor, even field kicking. He still tried to chase down, but didn't have the same zing, I didn't think, as the previous weeks. And being a first year player, mate, we're gonna expect these ebbs and flows. But to me, he's another one to persevere with. Just hope you get settled at senior level.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be just that fatigue factor setting in. I mean, he had a brilliant run down tackling Brad Hill, Jane.
Yeah, that was brilliant early in the game. Yep.
Loved seeing that. But unfortunately, I think, well, one thing I think this game would have shown him is he needs to work on his game awareness. Because there was a few moments there where, yep, yeah, give me your time again, maybe do something a bit different. But yeah, there was one on the wing there where, like we'd leveled the scores, Jane. We're looking pretty good, and he, yeah, kept the ball in, but unfortunately surrounded by Saints, and yeah, they lapped up the pill and off they went, down to their forward line to kick a goal. So whereas if that goes out, then we've got a 50-50 chance to get it going our way. Yeah, I'm not putting that on him, but it's just game awareness that he'll get through time. Another one where he had the opportunity to run into the 50 and he was unimpeded, like could have run in to about 35 meters out or so, but he sort of kicked it to the top of the square where we didn't really have the outnumber or anyone sort of leading all that strongly. I think really he could have had a ping, but he just didn't have the depth in his kick. It seemed to come up short. So yeah, whether that's fatigue, whether that's composure running inside 50, who knows? But I think he shows so much promise, Jane. If he's fatiguing, give him a week off or so. But if he's fit enough to keep going, I'd love to keep giving this kid games. I think he, what he lacks for execution at some points, he more than makes up for in endeavour. Three tackles laid in what was a pretty down night for us generally. Had a few clearances. Marked the ball pretty well. There was one on the forward flank there, James, I thought was particularly nice. Came out and met the ball beautifully.
Yeah, it was a good mark. Yep.
So he just shows so much promise. I'd love to see him keep playing, but if he needs that week off break, then more power to him. He's definitely deserved it.
Yeah. Now, Nick Martin, we gave him votes, mate. It's one of his better games of the year, and I said he had no problems finding the footy. He broke the lines well. Probably one thing he needs to add is more presence in the defensive side of it, of tackling. Just the one tackle. And, I always think players that can run can chase. And I'd like to see those numbers boost up a bit. But yeah, he did quite nicely with the footy. Would like to see him add a couple more goals to that. But pretty good game from Nick.
Yeah, absolutely, James. Like as I mentioned earlier, I thought he ran the lines well. Generally got it to blokes in better positions. It would have been good for him to kick those goals and lay a bit more defensive pressure, but still, I think he's playing quite solidly for us.
Yeah, happy 21st birthday to him. It's his birthday today, mate. So,
Whoosh.
now Massimo D'Ambrosio had plenty of the footy, mate. 27 disposals, 17 kicks, 10 handballs, 8 marks, 2 tackles. But I just felt like he got the balance wrong of defending and going after the footy. And a number of times his opponent got at the back of him, and this led to these walking goals. And that's the positioning part that Massimo's going to have to learn, or the opposition's going to give up him having the footy, even as well as he kicks the footy, on the balance that if the ball comes back, their opponent will be free.
No, absolutely. Valid point there, Jane. Like as I said saying earlier, like I do think he got found out defensively on the day because he was playing so attacking. That's not down to him necessarily, because like that might have been the role that he was given to play. Look, he's got good skills, but defensively just needs to work on that aspect of his game. So I'd have to say he played an okay game, certainly didn't star.
And Joey Menzies, he had a tough day at the office, but he was able to kick a goal, but just the 8 disposals. I will say that the way our forward entries were, it'd be hard for small forwards to really get into the game, and that's probably been, shown on on the day, because we saw Davey struggle. We saw a lot of our forwards, Jake Stringer, struggle, but a lot of it I put on forward entries.
Yep.
So Jai had a tough day at the office. He still laid three tackles, but didn't have the same opportunities he did as the week before.
Yeah, absolutely agree with all that, Jane. I think one thing I will say is, even though we kept bombing it into our forward line, we didn't have that focal point forward to crash packs and make sure the ball came to ground for our forwards, our small forwards rather, to pounce on it and make a bit of opportunity from it. It's just not the game of Harry Jones, and as for Wiedemann, he's not used to being the number one forward. So I think we need a lot of work to do there. Starved opportunities our forwards, particularly our small forwards. So I'm not going to put it all down on there. It's a pretty tough gig being small forward, Joan. Did bob up with a goal and a few tackles in that forward line there, which is good. But yeah, not nah, you'd have to say an average game just based on output.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Well, that's it, mate. We got through it. These shows are always much fun, much more fun when we have a win to relive. We live in hope, mate, as Bomber fans, and we've got the Giants next week at home. Let's hope there's a big Bomber crowd there, like to cheer us home. And I really think that had a big influence on the Suns game. Like to see the same this week, but Easter Sunday, mate, another Sunday game. It's becoming a trend. Had to get used to them this year. So let's hope we can, rebound, get back to 3-1, and then we've got a big long period of tough games against, much more graded sides. I think we want to be 3-1 before we head off to gather around play Melbourne up in Adelaide.
Yeah, that's it, James. I did just want to say as well, thank you for listening to the show. We've had a bit of an uptick in numbers. I mean, not huge, but for us, it's still been pretty big. And I think part of that is Scooter from the Lunchtime Catch-Up podcast gave us a bit of a shout out on Twitter the other week. It was actually pretty cool to say all the different podcasts, so the Sash, the Windsock,
Don't
us.
start.
Yeah, Don the Stat. Well, and it's great, like all this. I'll speak for myself as a footy nuffy, but like the fan base supporter podcast. I think it's great that we have a bit of contact. We all have, points of difference. Like the Stat, like Don the Stat boys. Like look at it more objectively than I would as an emotional supporter, which is it's actually really good to hear their perspectives. The Sash, always good for a laugh. Lunchtime catch up, always a great thing to listen to. So thanks for the shout out there, Scooter. It's great to feel part of the community, and we all want to see the Bombers succeed in the end. And it's a long road, but we're sticking fat. Thanks for everyone for listening to the shows, and hopefully you get something out of it. We're certainly having fun doing it.
Yeah, I had to laugh, mate, before we wrap up. During the week, there was a post and it said, "Ladies, get yourself a Bombers supporter. At least you'll know they'll be loyal." And that's a true love. We'll always be there, mate. So, there we go. We can put up with the stuff we've put up in the last 20-odd years, and we're still as faithful as we are to our side. There's hope for hope for us, and it shows that we've got a certain skill set that maybe some other fans don't. So, well
Silver
done.
linings.
Silver linings. That's it. Oh well. Until next week, go Bombers.
Go Dons.